listening to In the Workplace on Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School. Here again are Professor Peter Capelli and Dan O'Mara.
Hey, folks, welcome back. You're in the workplace. I'm Peter Capelli, professor of management here at the Wharton School. Dan O'Mara is still at the spa. We're getting hourly updates on the treatment and the revision that he's experiencing there so far. Let's see what the latest is. I'm looking for thumbs up or thumbs down. Thumbs up, it looks like, oh, wait, mixed message. Not clear how well it's going. We'll keep you updated as the show goes on. With me today is Benito Cachinero, who is currently with Egon Zehnder in their leadership practice. The executive search firm before that was the chief human resource officer at DuPont, and before that at ADP and then other places before that. So we've been picking his brain on some of the issues that we talk about a lot. We just wanted to wrap up a conversation we were just having about gender differences with respect to income. And the punchline of that story was that there is something like a bit of a winner-take-all situation. The people at the very top, are the jobs that pay enormously, are ones that you're just on call almost all the time. And it's impossible to have at least children in that kind of environment. And so we see couples making a decision that somebody's stepping down. And you might as well step down, frankly, altogether if you have one partner who's going to make tons and tons of money. And so we're seeing that sort of change. And Benito was pointing out this idea that many of those jobs, the people are effectively factories. You want to say a little more about that? They're effectively the factory themselves.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of service-oriented jobs or let's call it consultative roles.
Okay.
Law, accounting, consulting, management consulting, in those roles, it's not that somebody's whipping you into working more hours a day, mm-hmm. but A, professional pride, and B, productivity, mm-hmm. Are the things that are driving people to do what they do.
Right? And you can't work smarter if you're paid by the hour.
That's right, but the reality is that you're a human work, a knowledge worker.
Yes.
And you're a knowledge worker,
right.
You're the only one who can produce it,
right.
And you can leverage, and you can create teams, and other. But those teams, it's well known that in those professions, the apprentices, which are the young people that enter the professions, are working enormous hours.
Yes, right.
Because that's right. The only way to leverage the business, right?
Right, right. So there are a lot of jobs, even in IT, for example, if you are doing some kind of system architecture or something, you know, it... is not that easy to work smarter. Increasingly, people are working as consultants, and they are paid by the project. And so if you don't work as much, you don't make as much money, right? So it's not that it isn't possible to step down, but in a lot of these roles, as we were saying earlier, if you step down once, that's probably it, right? Mm-hmm. You can't step down for 5 years and expect to step back in on the escalator where you were before, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it that's it forever, but you're going to be behind others.
Pretty tricky, yeah. If you step out for, you know, several years, it will take you a while to get back to
absolutely.
The kind of opportunities you had before, and the clock runs out
absolutely.
At some point, right, for us. Unfortunately, the clock runs out. We're going to talk about a different gender-related story now, and this has to do with mentoring. And before we bring our guest in, I wanted to ask you, Benito, about mentoring and your experience with it, but maybe just first to help listeners, what does mentoring really mean, and what is it not? Right? So it's not like a sponsorship, right? What is mentoring supposed to be?
Well, mentor, if you're a mentor, and remember the word goes back to the Odyssey, right? Oh. Mentor, who was the person who took care of the family while Ulysses was away,
yep.
right? But anyhow, if you're a mentor, you're not a boss.
Mm-hmm.
You're not somebody who has
formal
a selfish...
authority.
You don't have formal authority, and more important, you don't have selfish interest
okay.
in the outcome.
Okay.
You're truly, hopefully, looking for the best outcomes for somebody.
Right.
And you're looking to help somebody grow personally and professionally from a disinterested point of view,
mm-hmm.
if that makes
mm-hmm.
sense.
You're really hoping to help them. And it's not like a boss trying to help a subordinate become more effective. That's great. That's supervision. That's development. but it's different.
Even if a boss has the best interest at heart, there's always a conflict of interest inherently in the relationship.
Yeah.
Whereas a mentorship sets up a relationship that is disinterested on both parties, with one party perhaps giving and returning their experience, wisdom, so that other can go forward.
So let's bring our guest in. Jen Laban is the Chief Talent and Diversity Officer at MentorClick and has been thinking about this issue. So Jen, first, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Tell us just a little about what MentorClick does, and then let me give you the second question too, which is what do you guys think mentoring means? But go ahead.
Well, MentorClick is an award-winning mentoring software platform. So essentially, our solution enables connections within organizations so employees can find those mentors and thrive.
Okay. And when you say mentor, what do you mean? What do mentors do?
Mentors are there to open up the door to conversations about development, improving performance, and helping that employee or helping that mentee in a lot of cases figure out where they want to go and help facilitate their problem solving to get there.
Okay, so it can be quite broad. It can be career-based. It can be life-based. It can be all those kinds of things. But your focus, at least in MentorClick, is inside the same organization, yeah?
It's typically what we work with are organizations who have mentoring programs and trying to develop mentoring relationships within. But you're absolutely right. I mean, informal mentoring goes on everywhere. I haven't talked to a single executive in my career who hasn't been able to point to at least one mentor who helped them get there.
Okay. And in particular, we wanted to talk about some insights you had about mentoring across genders. I think a lot of people would say, okay, well, fine. So if you happen to have a less senior man and you're mentored by a more senior woman, that's fine, and vice versa, that's fine. But you think there's actually some benefit in doing it intentionally, right?
That's right. What we see more and more, and I've seen in my research, is as organizations start to really take diversity and inclusion seriously and they want to see more women rise up into those leadership ranks, the first thing I see people, organizations do is they put these women-only groups into play.
Okay.
The idea being that, this is a safe, comfortable environment, so women should mentor other women. And, it's a good first step, but unfortunately, we're missing on a huge impact. So in one direction, women being mentored by men is really important because men, of course, still hold the most executive and senior leadership positions at organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So from a number standpoint, in order to get women into those leadership positions, they need to be mentored by people who have achieved that, and that's really by the numbers going to be men. So from a really sort of number standpoint, we want to see that cross-gender mentoring go on.
Okay, so just from practical purposes, because more of the executives and senior people are men, there's just not enough women in those positions to mentor all the junior women, so you would like to do that. How about the reverse? Are there advantages, you think, in having younger or less senior men mentored by more senior women?
Absolutely. I think that there's a stylistic difference that can often happen for women who are mentors versus men who are mentors. And so more junior men being mentored by more senior women will often experience a different type of mentoring relationship and will be exposed to sometimes a more curious, open, transparent, and problem solving facilitation style than they might experience with men as mentors.
Okay, and listeners, we're going to pester you now, so pull over. We want to ask you a question. We want to ask about your experience. If you have been mentored by somebody of the opposite sex, or you were a mentor, we'd like to hear what your experience was. What was different about this? Is there anything better, anything worse? Here's our number, 1-844-WHARTON. That's pretty easy to remember, although for some reason I can't remember it. There's an H in Wharton, or the actual number is 1-844-942-7866. If you're listening on Thursday, we're live. live, and we promise we will talk to you. So we'd like to hear from you folks. And the question again is, if you've had that experience of being mentored or mentoring somebody of the opposite sex, what was different about it or what was unique about it? So, Jen, let me ask you about that experience, what you folks find, particularly when men mentor women. Is there anything different about it, anything better, aside from simply it's good to have more senior people, and men are more senior in the hierarchy on average, more of them are senior than women? What's different about the experience?
Yeah, so there's different experience, as you mentioned. There's a stylistic difference. I'm being really careful not to say always or overall or all, you know, most of the time, because of course humans are complex, right? So everyone's a different style, but often women will experience a stylistic difference in that mentoring relationship because senior executives who are men can sometimes approach things with a very sort of directive, work towards this goal of getting you promoted, or let's work towards this goal of removing these obstacles. And it's sort of a more directive style. But there's also the results that really pan out. You asked about kind of what we're seeing in our work, and this is across the board. We're seeing this in research in the industry, not just on with our customers. Women who are mentored by men see more higher salaries, they see greater promotions. They are able to achieve more of their goals because they're being mentored by men. But the underlying story is not just because their mentors are men. It's because their mentors are in those senior leadership positions. So it really benefits everyone. And then once we do see those women able to achieve those higher levels in the organization or more salary, they're able to impact the organization at a strategic results level. We know that organizations with diverse leadership, staff and employees, see more profitability and higher employee engagement. So it's a huge win.
Folks, we'd like to hear from you on this, your own experience. If you've been mentored by a member of the opposite sex, or if you did the mentoring, we'd like to hear what your experience was. Here's our number again, 1-844-942-7866 if you're listening on Thursday. We're live, and we'll talk to you. Sabrina's calling from Georgia and had an experience with this. Sabrina, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Tell us what happened. What was your experience?
I'd like to hear what your experience was. Here's our number again, 1-844-427.
Oh, Sabrina, are you still with us? She's coming back. We are grabbing her out of the cloud and seeing if we can bring her back down. While we're waiting for her, I know what her question or experience is basically about, so let me tell you a little bit here. She was trying to get a mentor and trying to get a man to be the mentor, and the man was hesitant to do it, an experience which might not be completely unique. And while we're getting her back on the line, folks, if you've had this experience, we'd like to hear from you. Here's their number again, 844-942-7866. We got Sabrina back. Sabrina, how you doing?
Hi, I'm sorry about that. Yes, I am a woman of color, and as you can imagine, there's not a lot of people that look like me that's in corporate America for me to mentor.
Okay.
So what I did was I tried to reach out to a white male to help to get him to help me.
Okay.
But it was very difficult. I went and talked to him. I don't know. So it was difficult for me. And I don't know, for somebody like myself, how would I go about doing it? Because it didn't work out.
What did, what kind of response did you get? What was he saying? And what did he not say that you think he wasn't telling you?
He was nice to me. He was very nice. And most of the time, because one of the incidences is I actually interviewed where he was part of the interview, and I was really wanting feedback from him on how well I did and everything. But when I would reach out, he'd give me some pat answers, but never really anything that helped me a lot. So for me, just bottom line, the experience was not very good. I still admire the guy. I really like him. I really like his style, but I think he didn't feel very comfortable with me, with mentoring me. And okay. I don't know if it's because I'm a woman, because I'm black. And there's not that many black women at my at the company that I work for. Okay. Not really many women, actually.
Mm-hmm. Sabrina, hang on. We got two experts here. We're going to ask them. What do you think is going on? And then maybe what should you do about it? Benito, what do you think?
Well, I don't know enough to have a point of view, but as I was listening to
Sabrina... I should say that never stops me.
But as I was listening to Sabrina, I remember... I was in New York a few years ago at a relatively small forum where the keynote speaker was Ursula Burns, who had become the first black female who was a Fortune CEO in the history of the country, mm-hmm. right? A Fortune 500 CEO, mm-hmm. and that was Xerox. She was an engineer, and she had grown within Xerox. And somebody asked her in the audience, to what do you attribute your success? And she said, I would not be here where I am today if I had not been mentored earlier in my career by some enlightened white men. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, everybody in management
was white men.
Yep. And so somebody has to be on the other side willing to pick up the ball. Mm-hmm. And Ursula was calling it enlightened white men. Mm-hmm. But if somebody had not been at Xerox at the time yep. and had noticed Ursula
yep.
and had made a point of helping her, mm-hmm. She would have never arrived mm-hmm. Where she did, mm-hmm. right? So it's a tricky, mm-hmm. it requires a match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jen, what do you think? And I'll give you my thoughts in a second here too. What do you think, Jen?
Yeah, well, first of all, Sabrina, I'm sorry you had that experience. It's really gut-wrenching to hear that. So I've spent my career at 20 years at this point working in mentoring and seeing so many failed sort of mentoring relationships, and it does so much harm. So I am sorry to hear that. I agree. There's probably a lot to the story that I would love to get into, but some things do surface for me. And one is, I think that when we are approaching mentors and asking them to mentor us who are different from us in gender or otherwise, I think it's important for us to be clear about what our expectations are.
Yeah.
And to share that this is going to be a collaborative experience, because if men are going to mentor women and vice versa, we all have to be ready to kind of step into that discomfort a little bit. I'm going to say things that, you know, maybe don't land well, but I need to know that you're going to give me that feedback that it didn't land with you. And you're going to say things that I'm not really sure how to deal with. And I need to be able to tell you that I'm not sure. So when everyone out there goes and they approach a mentor, maybe of the opposite gender, I say have that conversation, be honest and transparent right from the beginning that, hey, I think that this might take a little bit of a learning curve for us to connect, but I do admire you. I do appreciate your work, and I think I could learn a lot from you.
So here's my two cents on this. I think lots of people don't want to be mentors, and it doesn't matter who the mentee is. And I think one of the reasons for that is they are afraid that the mentee will misunderstand what the role is about, and frankly, many mentees are looking for sponsors rather than mentors, right? Mm-hmm. They're looking for somebody who they think is going to do something for them. And so I think in terms of advice, one of the things we might try, I would give up on that guy, by the way, and just move on to somebody else, is to, when you ask them to articulate, here's what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for advice and somebody to respond to and react to the things I'm seeing. I'm not looking for a sponsor. I think especially in the same company, people are afraid to do that. I think another issue maybe we could pick up in a bit, Sabrina, is to think about these differences in diversity. That is, when you're mentoring somebody, particularly I think now from an opposite gender, and in the Me Too era, there are a lot of people who are afraid of this. I think particularly men mentoring women, and maybe shouldn't be, but nevertheless, I think that's a fact. So Sabrina, good luck with that one. And Maria has had both experiences, both being a mentor and being mentored by men or with men. So Maria, tell us what you learned from this. You ran a little experiment. You did both sides.
Yeah, I did do both sides. Early on in my career,
lucky enough to have a boss that actually took me under his wing and said, you know, I really see the potential in you, okay. and I would like to mentor you. And
okay.
so that, that was one key important thing, was that he asked permission. Mm-hmm. And it was something that I didn't even think, I was so young in my career at the time, I didn't even realize that that was a thing, and that was a thing that I needed.
But this, Maria, can I just stop and ask you, this was your boss wanting to mentor you, or just a boss?
My boss.
Oh, your boss, okay.
My direct boss. He was high up in the organization, and this was my first job out of college, actually.
Okay.
And so I got really lucky that I got the boss that I got and got the experience that I got, because he, you know, when I said, yes, I would love that, he really did mentor me. You know, he took me to meetings that I probably would have never gone to in the organization as his mentee, and I got to really experience his world in a way that most women at the time were not able to experience, especially in the organization. And so, and the funny part about that was that I worked for him for a while, and then one day he called me into his office and he said, well, he said, kiddo, it's time for you to go. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's firing me. And he's like, no, you've outgrown your position, and I don't have a space for you in the organization, so I'm going to help you find another company.
Boy, that's an unusual boss.
right. And it was really great. And just those examples that he gave me was really, that's what I used throughout my career.
Okay.
So, fast forward over 20 years later, not saying the number.
Okay.
I'm now in a position that he was in, and I am able to now mentor men and women. And the thing that I have done is that I've made a point of asking permission.
Oh, okay.
Explaining why I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because it's a pay it forward situation, as well as when you see a young person with potential that can really improve, but just needs someone to help them.
Okay.
That's when you want to step up and do it. And so I've had great experiences with both men and women as mentees.
Maria, any difference in the experience of mentoring men versus women that you notice?
Yeah, one is that men are much more open to it, young men are much more open to it than I find that the women are. It takes,
really?
And I know it's because a lot of time women have been burned in the workplace, and so they walk very carefully into that situation where a lot of men will kind of jump in, they'll go, yes, this is what I want, this is what I need, and they're very clear of what they want to work on, what their goals are. Where with a lot of the women that I've worked with, and women my own age as well as younger, I find that you really do have to nurture that relationship and really build up that trust before they will take that leap.
Okay. Maria, it sounds like a great experience. Thanks very much for being with us and calling in. I had just a question for you, Benito, on this, and then I know you've got one for Jen. And that is, what she described to me, Benito, sounded like what a good boss should do rather than a mentor, right? That you would hope a boss would give you opportunities, show you things, take you places, stuff like that, and take you under your wing. Mentors are kind of different, I think. Yeah,
what's your sense? I think so. I mean, not discounting what she said, I think
it's great things
to do. But I think this notion of having a disinterested relationship where you're truly nurturing or you're truly giving, and that's what makes mentoring
different.
And I'm curious, as I think of that concept, Jen, how you feel about mentoring within the organization that you work for, as opposed to outside the organization, because there are potentially pros and cons of that, and I wonder what you found in your work.
Mm-hmm. So that's a great question. I mean, of course, the answer is, like, ideally we would do both. Mentoring outside of the organization gives you such great insight into what's happening you know, in the broader context of your industry or across across industries potentially. So there's a lot of upside there. And if you're mentoring outside of your organization, you're potentially finding talent that you could eventually bring into your organization to improve the value there. But the amazing thing about mentoring within your organization, about intentionally reaching out to people who are a different gender, to people of color, if you're not, you know, across diverse areas, is that you are taking that step intentionally to increase your network, to improve your legacy within the organization, to be known as a leader who brings others with you on that journey. And I think that's really important. We know that mentors, our research has shown that mentors benefit as much, if not more, from mentoring within their organization than mentees do. So we did a cross-customer study of retention, and we found that mentor retention went way up, even more so than mentees. So we know that mentoring within your organization has tremendous benefits for mentors.
And you don't think is it possible that the reason that retention went up is because if you were leaving, you didn't mentor people?
That's a great question. I can tell you what we know. It's not tenure based. Our first assumption, you know, we were kind of surprised when we saw that, and then we looked at maybe it's because mentors tend to be more tenured, which means they tend to stay longer. But actually, the data was cut in a way and analyzed in a way across tenure bands and across departments, and we found that it's definitely runs the gamut. So it's not tenure. Is it because hiring more highly engaged employees are more likely to mentor? There is most likely a correlation there. Mm-hmm. But we also know that when you have more people engaged in real social learning relationships, which is how we define mentoring, that engagement goes up. So mm-hmm. having 10 amazing mentors who are getting a lot out of that program becomes 100, and then that becomes 1,000, and all of a sudden you have a mentoring culture.
Jen, before we let you go, if you could tell us a little about, since your business is making these matches, what makes for a good match between mentor and mentee?
I love that question. I think it's respect, it's trust, and it's clarity. Immediately, there is a perceived sort of power dynamic in mentorships within an organization. A mentee is a little often concerned about being mentored by someone who's more senior than them. Women in particular might suffer from imposter syndrome. But that respect piece right from the beginning, sharing our accomplishments and mentors sharing, you know, their stumbles, really helps establish mutual respect between the two and gets that match more solid. Trust, intentional trust. We don't have the luxury of years of building trust, but in a mentoring relationship, mm-hmm. you might only have 6 or 12 months. So really looking at what are the behaviors to build trust with them in that relationship. If there's concern about gender, then, you know, putting that out on the table. And then because of that, being really clear about what the expectations and the boundaries mm-hmm. are. I think that's the secret formula.
Okay. Jen, thanks very much for being with us. Jen Laban is the Chief Talent and Diversity Officer of MentorClick, a company that makes these mentoring connections. But, you know, I'm sure at one of these companies you've run mentoring programs or sort mm-hmm. of sat over them.
We have.
I wonder what your experience with them is. One of the things I worry about is burning out your current employees, because it's a lot of work to be a mentor.
Yeah,
in the firm mentoring.
Yeah, right? Definitely. I do agree with Jen when she said that the mentoring within the organization is more powerful, effectively. Although mm-hmm. I think it's good as you personally grow to have perspectives from people from everywhere.
Yeah,
right. But I do think that in addition to the things Jen said, to be a good mentor, you need a couple of qualities that not everybody has. Mm-hmm. And that's why you can suggest and cajole, but you cannot force it.
Yeah.
And one of them is you need to be generous, mm-hmm. and not everybody's mm-hmm. generous. Mm-hmm. And I mean generous of your time, generous with your time, generous of people's own challenges and struggles and yes. your willingness right. to listen to that.
And can I just stop you on that? Because I think that's a great point, because lots of people feel that their own career progression was difficult and that it was competitive. And they kind of resent giving other people help that they feel they themselves didn't get, right? So the idea of simply assigning mentors can be a pretty risky exercise.
Yeah, you need to choose somebody. The second I was going to mention, Peter, in addition to generosity, is you need some level of reflectiveness.
Yes.
And just like we were saying before, not everybody that is intellectually curious can draw insights. Here, not everybody that has the experience is reflective enough to be able to convey that
right.
in a way that is helpful.
Right.
So not, you don't need to be a philosopher. You don't need to be a shrink. Mm-hmm. But you need to be reflective enough to listen carefully and provide whatever wisdom you can provide.
Right? And you want somebody who's had a successful career and whose advice you think is good.
Is worthy of listening
to. Yes, worthy of listening to, right?
Absolutely.
And I would imagine in a typical company, if you think about who those people would be, it's not everybody. And if you look at the number of people who would like mentors, it's a big group. And the concern is you wear out your mentors.
Well, right? We had to, in big organizations that I have worked, more than one, we used to have to run a little interference on that. Mm-hmm. And particularly, mm-hmm. you're a senior executive, you have a demanding job, as we were discussing before, and you can only effectively mentor so many.
Yes.
So we had to be choosy. It couldn't be I run into you in the hallways.
Yes.
And right. therefore, can you please mentor me? You know, there had to be a purpose. There had to be a point of view.
Yeah.
And you cannot mentor more than a handful of fingers in your hand.
Yes, right.
As opposed to becoming... And when you were good at that, people wanted that particular person as a mentor, right?
Yeah.
And you had to run...
And I would imagine, too, one of the concerns in an organization is this boundary between being a sponsor and being a mentor, right? So even if we're starting out as mentors, so we're just giving advice, I'm just giving reactions to the younger person or less senior person, then they got a problem and they come to me with the problem and I'm more senior in the organization. And my interest in helping them has got to be really, really strong. And then suddenly I'm no longer just a mentor.
That is true. Organizations are complicated and humans are complicated,
right?
But I think if you're really a mentor and not a boss, you're not going to pick up the phone and run interference as you would if you were a boss,
right?
Or if you were a sponsor.
Right.
So you have to... provide the tools, the thinking tools, and the advice for that person to go and find the answer, even if that means finding the right sponsorship.
Right, and the mentors ideally are not putting mentees are not putting the mentors in an awkward situation by saying, "What do I do? Can you help me with this?"
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Tricky. Yeah. I think this idea of finding a mentor outside the organization is a really good idea, easier to manage in many ways, right? And this concern about sponsorship and boundaries and things is not nearly as complicated. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have one inside too.
No. And for example, in mentorship outside organizations, that sometimes is easier when you have a commonality of a profession.
Yes.
So, for example, in my own personal experience, I've been able to mentor people that didn't work in my organization who wanted to hear from me, how do I become the head of HR of an organization? And I don't work for you.
Yes.
I work in a different organization.
Right.
And that can be a very rewarding interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And doesn't put you in the complicated situation of having two people who both want you to tell them how to have your job.
Correct.
Which is quite tricky. We're going to take a break now, and we're going to come back in just a minute and talk about a couple of things in the news, so hang in there.